Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I don't know, comparatively, I have to be the most excited guy or the most exciting guy. I don't know how they put it in English, but I'm so excited and I'm so happy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Beloved of God, you're welcome to another episode of my 365 Devotional Challenge. But before we go in, let's worship our Father. Father, Lord, Jehovah God, God Most High, the owner of the universe, the creator of everything, the creator of all things, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the everything, every form, every reason and every purpose. We come to you today and we say thank you, Father. We worship you and we bless your holy name. There is no like on today. We're about to do another episode. We're about to have another episode of our program. Father Lord, please descend and be a part of this gathering today. Descend and be a part of this meeting today. And let lives be blessed. Let people be touched, oh Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Father Lord, I give you glory and worship you because there's no like on today. Yesterday, we started a mini series inside a series. The month of October was the month of vaccines and also the month of fasting because we're just fasting and we're dedicating everything into your hands. And then, one thing I learned about fasting was that, you know, when we submit the will of our bodies, when we submit the demands of our flesh to you, that we are energizing the spirit. Because in this life, man has his own level. Man has the limitation. Man has limitations. This is not everything that happens in the world that man has access to. Man has his own limitations. Like I was listening to a man of God speak the other time, and I was talking about food and feeding and what constitutes food in the different dimensions and in the different spheres of life. And he talked about, he used different analogies. For example, like if I'm cooking, you know, in Africa here. Africa is not like Europe or the Americas, so I don't know where you are listening from, but I'm going to use a typical African analogy because I'm in Nigeria, I'm an African, I'm in Africa. For example, now if you want to cook now, you put your beans, maybe for example, beans on the fire, and then as you cook the beans, there's nothing that you always tell us to do, that you should pour out the first water of that beans, so that all the things that used to make us too fat, flatulent, a bit flatulent, what do we always call it? To mess. We used to call it mess. All the things that will make you to mess, that if you can pour the first water of that beans away, that you will not be messing too much and your stomach will not be rumbling too much. Forgive my grammar. But then, you know, so now, when you're cooking beans and then you have the first water, you don't pour that water in the sink or in the shank or inside the house. You throw it outside because it smells. Yeah, it has the smell that comes with it. So from where you are going to throw this water away, you don't know if there are ants that are in that particular place. And you just carry the water, you go outside, wah, throw away. You're trying to prepare your food. But in preparing your food, the process is detriment to other levels of existence, and that is the ants, because there might be ants in that place that you are throwing food. Okay, let me use another analogy. This one is practical. Today, I went into the backyard of our compound. I'm staying in like a place that other people are staying. So when I went into the back, I don't know if I should go into the detail but what I just realized is that a cloth that was hung on the line fell. And when this clothes fell, I just thought, oh, yeah. And I saw that there were other things that the falling of that cloth turned into a habitation for other creatures. So when these clothes went off the line and landed on the floor, I saw ants on that cloth, and I also saw worms on that cloth. So I picked up the clothes, trying to rinse it, that's when I realized that there were ants on this clothes and there were worms on this cloth. So that simple act of that cloth dropping on the ground had already created a habitation for some other kinds of beings, or we can call them lower beings, to exist. So it already created a habitation for some lower beings to exist. But because that is not the state that I wanted that cloth to be in, so I had to pick up the clothes. And while I went to rinse them, I had to do a lot of, the water and everything killed, and the detergent killed a lot of those ants. And although the worms didn't die, but it displaced those worms from where they were originally positioned. So our actions constitutes maybe some kind of damage or some kind of decay to beings below us or beings above us. Even the lion, when the lion is hunting for its prey, maybe he sees a deer or a roebuck and is hunting for his prey. He's trying to hunt for his own family, for himself to fill its stomach and for his family to have something to eat. But then that roebuck or that animal too is seeing the lion as an enemy. But the lion sees the animal as food. So is human beings. Typically, that is the realm that human beings actually exist. The thoughts that we manufacture in our minds and the actions that we perform constitutes a kind of energy to beings that are higher placed. The Bible calls them spiritual, they can be spiritual wickedness, or they can also be, angels. So the things that we do constitutes food, constitutes raw material for the performances of different kinds of beings, because there are two poles. We have the positive and the negative. So the things that we do might feed the negative pole, and the things we also do might also feed the positive pole. So before we can do anything, we need to make sure that our operations is within the ambit of love. Because anything that is without love, or anything that is done outside of love, feeds a particular set of creatures. And when you feed a thing, it becomes energetic, it becomes stronger. And it now has the potency and the power to infiltrate the earth. Yesterday we looked at knowing God, understanding who our God is, seeing God. For us to be able to see God, we have to lay down foundations. We have to do things that will attract the presence of God. Because God does not dwell where there is filth. Of course, we can say that, God gets down and get dirty. Because if God didn't get down and get dirty, he wouldn't have been able to find a sinner like me, so rotten and condemned. God gets down and gets dirty. But after we might have been converted, like Paul said, shall we continue in iniquity so that grace may abound? After we might have been converted into Christianity, we need to start practicing works of righteousness, works of goodness, so that we can feed the positive energy. We can feed goodness. We can feed God. And when once you have a direct connection, and once you start doing good, and this good is not what qualifies us to be saved, because we are saved by the blood of Jesus. But once you start doing good, you start striving towards that perfection, then you open a channel, you open a doorway, you open an access route for God to be able to show himself to us. We need to know God for us to be able to know what our responsibility is as Christians in this last age. The world is coming to an end. I just bought something today, and then the name was New Age. It's just now that I just realized that, hey, New Age and new everything and everything. And I just like, oh Lord Jesus Christ, protect this thing. Whatever spirit is behind this thing, I hand it over to you. I subject it to your own authority. But we are in the last age, brethren. That's what I want to bring out of what I just said now. And whatever we do, we should make it positive. We should make it good so that we can be able to have an encounter with God. We need an encounter with God for us to be able to know our role as Christians. We need to have an encounter with God. We need to see God. We need to know God. But blessed are those who believe without seeing. But we still need, you know, when once you've climbed above that certain level, you don't strive for a higher relationship. You don't strive for something higher in God. And we say, God, we want to know you. We want to know who we are worshiping. We want to know who we are witnessing to others. Show yourself to us, Father. That is what we are striving at. And when once you know God and you see God, there's nothing that the world is going to dangle in front of you that you're going to settle for. Because you know God. You know who you're seeking. You've had an encounter, even a physical encounter with him. So maybe the world changes and everybody's like, okay, do this, do that. If you don't get the vaccines, we're going to kill you. If you don't get the 666, we're going to kill you and things like that. You will laugh them. You will mock. You will look at them with disdain because there's nothing that they can bring to you that can compare to the glory and to the brightness of the Father which you've encountered, even in the physical. So may God help us. May he continue to keep us. May he continue to protect us. So that we can turn out to be the way that he really wants us to be. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Brethren, I have the song. This song just came to me today. So I'm going to share it with you. Listen, and then you can join in and be blessed. Thank you, Jesus. Until all of me becomes one with you, I will not rest. I will not settle for less until everything I have worships your holy name. I will not rest until I see you. I will not rest. I won't give up. I will not rest until I behold your face. I will not rest. I will not rest. Oh, I will not rest until I see you. Beloved of God, I plan not to rest until I have an encounter with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I've had an encounter with him before, but I was too childish. And you know what the Bible says, like a child, there's no difference between a child and a servant because he doesn't really know the constituents. He doesn't really know what comprises of his inheritance until he grows into a man, until he matures. So I had an encounter with Jesus. I saw him when I was a child, lying down on the mat in my grandmother's room. I can't forget. I forgot it, but he reminded me of that experience. But I want to have another encounter with him again. Because I know that when I have this encounter, if you like, be you. If you like, don't be you. I will never forget him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Beloved of God, it's been another wonderful time in the presence of God. I love you, but Jesus Christ loves you more. See you tomorrow. Remain blessed. Bye-bye.